We're glad you came tonight. Let's take our Bibles and open them to the book of James. We're in God's Word tonight in Wednesday night Bible study. God has brought us to a wonderful epistle, the epistle of James, very practical information for all of us here tonight. Book of James, chapter 3. We began to address this chapter last Wednesday night and began by reminding us that teachers have a very awesome and serious responsibility in the body of Christ, that God has given us teachers, and because they will be held to stricter judgment, they've got to be very careful in what they say. It seems to be that James, as he weaves through different themes, is addressing the topic of the tongue. All of us have a tongue, do we not? You know, all of us, and we use it. All of us use it very effectively, not just to eat, but especially to talk. And James is addressing the idea of talk and speech. For example, in chapter 1, in verse 19, he says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear and slow to what? Speak, and thereby also slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." As if to say, if we are not careful with our tongues, eventually we may provoke ourselves to anger and provoke others to anger and lead to unrighteousness, and that is not going to commend ourselves to God. You know, also notice in verse 26, James 1:26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not what? Bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is what? Worthless. And so speaking and worshiping God, speaking and religion are synonymous, and therefore our tongue is going to display whether or not we really are true believers in God and are true worshipers. If we don't bridle our tongue, if we just let it loose and it does whatever it wants to do, then obviously our religion is going to be obviously worthless because it'll show the opposite. So the tongue is very, very important in James' discussion. Look at chapter 2 and verse 14. Again, it had to do with profession of faith. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works, can that faith save him? Professing, then, is not sufficient. Possessing is what matters. It's not what you say, but it's how you live that really matters in our Christian life. And so the tongue is a topic of importance to the Apostle James. Now go back to chapter 3 then. In chapter 3, now he goes into an extended discussion on the tongue. And let's look at verse 2. "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man or a perfect woman, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination or the impulse of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." So again, the whole issue of the tongue is of great importance. Our walk with God, our professing religion, depends upon our ability to bridle our tongues, control our tongue. Chapter 1 told us that a woman who doesn't control the tongue, their religion is worthless. In other words, your faith is tied up with what comes out of our mouths. That's what he's really saying. It's so key. Imagine such a small part of our body can be so, so significant. Small things matter, do they not? It is interesting. Yesterday, a Korean airline was en route someplace and was taken back to the original airport because the lady on board was served nuts. And instead of being served nuts in a bowl, she was served nuts in a what? In a bag. And she was furious. You see, she was related to a high bigwig in the airline business in Korean Air. And so she threw a fit because she was served nuts in a bag and not in a bowl. She personally directed the plane back to the airport so she could fire the person that's responsible for serving her a bag of macadamia nuts in a bag instead of a bowl. Well, small things matter, right? That's an indication of small things matter. So next time you get served, well, never mind, you probably won't fly first class like she did. But the issue is, again, that small things really do matter. And that's the emphasis here in James. James says we have a tendency to disregard the use of our tongues. We have a tendency to think that somehow it's inconsequential, that what we say out of our mouths really doesn't matter. There are bigger things, there are bigger fish, there are bigger issues in life, and the tongue is not necessarily that critical. James is saying, and God is saying, your tongue is very important. The use of your tongue is critical in your life. It is critical, and we already mentioned that, critical because it affects your ultimate religious destiny. Your ultimate place in heaven is going to be relating to the fact of your tongue. If you can't bridle your tongue, then your religion is obviously worthless because what you say reveals what's in your heart. But more than that, there is so much in life that we owe to the use of the tongue. And so we want to then look at the emphases that James makes. And James is taking his brush. He's taking his brush and he's painting to us pictures. So you get the point. You know, he's noted for that. Noted for taking words and painting pictures for us. So we walk away saying, wow, you know, it matters to me how I utilize my tongue. The things that I say are of great, great importance. So notice, first of all, that the goal of this entire discussion is to gain control of the tongue. That's the whole of it. It begins in verse 2 by saying that there is a tendency for every one of us to stumble in this regard. He says, we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle or control the whole body as well. In other words, everybody has trouble with the tongue. Would you agree with that? You know, all of us have this hoof and mouth disease, do we not? Where you stick your foot in your mouth by saying the wrong thing. I think we could spend the night giving testimony about your most embarrassing time when you open your mouth and said the wrong thing. We all have those times. Or we can talk about not only embarrassing but also damaging times where we said the wrong thing to the right person, wrong thing to the wrong person, and suffered grave consequences of that. What he's saying here, that nobody's immune. No one can say, listen, I never make mistakes with what I say. None of us can say that. We all stumble. Therefore, he begins by saying that because he wants us all to pay attention. He doesn't want us to turn the page and go to the next section. He wants you to stop and think about that for just a moment and say, you know, I need to learn to control my tongue, because all of us, this is a common malady, a common disease, all of us have it. And so the important is for us to recognize that and say, Lord, I need some help in the control of my tongue. Notice in verse 2, it also says, it's the measure of the mature person. The mature person is that individual that is able to control the tongue. A mark of maturity is this, the mark of Christian maturity, the mark of the fact that you've learned to walk with God is your ability to control your tongue. Now in James chapter 1, we have already discussed maturity in a different way. Look at verses 2, 3, and 4 of chapter 1 when he speaks about trials. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and that endurance have its perfect result so that you may be what? perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. A perfect trials, trials and difficulties are going to produce a perfect individual, a mature individual. And as you and I go through trials, the end result is going to be that we are going to experience a measure of growth. Now, another approach to that is also control of the tongue. Control of the tongue. As you and I learn to control the tongue, that's going to result in a measure of maturity. The issue of perfection basically is not perfect in the sense of without defect, but perfect in the sense of maturity. That is grown up. Not like a baby, not like a spiritual child, but a mature Christian man or Christian woman. Control the tongue, and the end result is going to be maturity. Maturity. And that's what all of us need to do. I suppose if trials produce maturity, then maybe biting the tongue would produce maturity. You ever tell yourself that? Does anyone ever tell you? You should have bit your tongue? Don't say that. You should have never said that. And in essence, we have to learn to bite our tongue. We have to learn to recognize that. Our maturity is going to be measured by our ability to bridle or control our tongue. So think about your life. Think about, you know, all of our lives tonight. Our maturity is going to be based on the ability that we have to control our tongues. And so he discusses that. Now look at verse 2. The ultimate benefit of controlling the tongue is going to be controlling your life. He is able to bridle the whole body as well. If you can control your tongue, you will control your life. Because you see, we're impacted by the use of our tongue. Just recently up in Washington, D.C., we had the president get up, and I think around Thanksgiving holiday, president with his wife and the daughters were there, and they were talking about turkey, etc. And some aide in Washington decided to criticize Mr. Obama's daughters. Did you hear about that one? And so she went on, on the internet and published some stuff and criticized the daughters of Mr. Obama. Well, that's a major no-no in Washington. I mean, you never, never pick on the president's children or the president's dog or the president's cat. In other words, they're off limit to you. You can chew on him all you want. You can pick on him all you want. You can make cartoons of him, but you never, ever touch the children of the president. Well, this gal did, and she, in other words, her tongue got her into trouble. Big trouble? Big trouble. Big time. Again, showing the fact that if you don't bridle your tongue, you can get into some big jams. It can affect the outcome of your life. And so what James says here is if you learn to control your tongue, you're able to control your body. You're able to control your life. If you can just learn to control your tongue, you're going to be able to control the rest of your life. It's going to impact your life. Now, as you think about that, and so he illustrates in verses 3 and 4. Look at, again, the master illustrator. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we can direct their entire body as well. So he uses two illustrations, horses and then ships, again, to illustrate the point. A horse is a huge animal, and yet you put a bit into the horse's mouth, and then with the reins, you can lead the horse wherever you want to go. A little child can do that. A little child that's learned to be around horses can take a horse with a bit and with the reins and just lead the horse wherever the child wants the horse to do. Imagine that. A little piece of metal in the horse's mouth, and it does whatever you want it to do. He says that second illustration is a huge ship that's beaten by strong winds, and yet at the very end, you know, at the back of the ship is a rudder. A little rudder at the end that basically is connected to the steering column, and there the pilot simply turns the wheel that turns the rudder, and that rudder, being a small piece of metal or a small piece of wood back in James' day, that small piece of wood, you can turn a huge ship, and they could go wherever you want it to go. You're in control of a massive, massive ship. Again, to emphasize the issue that a small thing, if you can control the small thing, you can control the major things in life. If you can just control this piece of muscle that you have wedged between two sets of teeth, all right? If we can just take that muscle that we have wedged between two sets of teeth and learn to control that, you're able to control the destiny and the larger things in your life. It is so key for us to think about that. I mean, think about marriages. You'd be surprised how many of our marriages, how much of our marriages depend upon our communication and the words that we speak. Just the words that you say are going to impact the outcome of your marriage. To have a long and lasting and happy marriage really comes back to the issue of controlling the little muscle that's between two sets of teeth called your what? Called your tongue. Or think about friendships. Think about friendships. Think about long-lasting friendships. Think about jobs. Think about sales. Think about anything in life. It all depends upon the use of words, the use of your tongue. This small little muscle, you know, between your teeth has impacts larger things in life. That's why he uses the illustrations of horses and ships, just to remind us that if you can learn to control this, a small little tool, small little muscle, it'll impact the other parts of your life. Now come to verses 5 through 12. In 5 through 12, what the apostle does here is he emphasizes the power of the tongue. He says, now don't minimize this. Don't minimize the power of the tongue. Don't minimize what it can and cannot do. That's what he's doing here. And so from here on, the discussion, it says, I want you to look at this little thing. I want you to open your mouth, stick your tongue out. I want you to look at it. It's not as innocent as you think it is. See, most of us in front of the mirror rarely ever look at our tongues. We look at our teeth, do we not? We look at our eyeballs, our eyelashes and hair, etc. But we rarely ever think about the tongue. And James is going to say for a few moments, I want you to do what you normally don't do. I want you to focus on your tongue. And I want me to describe it for you. We're going to talk about your tongue so you can see what it is and learn to respect its power. Because the tongue has great power. I want you to learn to respect the power of the tongue. If you can learn to respect the power of the tongue, it's going to yield you some great, great dividends. It's going to impact your life in many, many ways. So let's look at it for a moment. In verse 5, in relation to its size. See, the perfect man that he speaks about in verse 2 is a man that knows the power of the tongue. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of what? Great things. In comparison to your body, the tongue is really really small. I mean, it doesn't weigh more than a few ounces. Would you agree? I mean, we can weigh 110 pounds or 150 pounds or maybe 200-300 pounds, but the tongue is going to be a small, small part of that body when it comes to weight. And yet it impacts it in a terrific way. He says it's small in comparison to the body, but listen, in its effect, a small thing can do major, major damage. That's why it says it boasts of great things. Because you see, if it could speak, it could say to you, don't judge me by my size. You know, I'm not as big as your biceps. I'm not as big as your chest. I'm not as big as your legs. I'm not as big as your belly. I'm not even as big as your head. I'm one of the smallest members, but the outcome of your life depends more on what I do than on what your biceps do. The outcome of your life depends more on what I do for you than what your entire legs do for you. Therefore, I can boast of great things, is what it's saying. So it's speaking to us. Speaking to us. And look at verse 5. 5 and 6. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small, what? A small fire. And we in Southern California, we know all about that. Do we not? We have we have testimony after testimony after testimony. Somebody playing with a campfire, right? Little campfire, and out of control, and it just goes and destroys thousands and thousands of acres and sometimes hundreds and hundreds of homes. You know, a little cigarette thrown out of a car, right? A little cigarette out of a car, and that can happen. We've seen people just take a maliciously start a fire when we have sand and winds, just maliciously a little fire, and the fire takes off, and before you know it, it becomes an inferno, and it burns and burns and burns. He says, and so notice that what it can do, a little bit can bring about great, great, great harm. I heard about a young teenager, young little gal, you know, who committed suicide because on Facebook, on the internet, people were saying things on the internet, her peers, her schoolmates, saying things about her on the internet that deeply affected her life. She read these things, she took them to heart, and she couldn't live with that. And she took her life. See, what you thought was just a little expression. That's the tongue, by the way. Maybe you're not saying it out loud, but you're saying it someplace, somewhere. A little sentence, a couple of words, a couple of phrases, and you send them out to all your people, and before you know, that little fire consumes and destroys a human being. That's what it's saying here. See, it's not innocent. It's not something that is innocent or it doesn't harm. No, it's like a little tiny flame that can consume and destroy so much. We need to recognize that because we can take slander, we can take gossip, we can take bitter words or things that we say, and they can be small, but they can cause a great deal of harm. You know, it's like the it's like that fellow that came to a priest to confess his sins, and he confessed the fact that he had gossiped and slandered, and he wanted to be forgiven. And the priest said, "Well, okay, you want to be forgiven? If it's what I want you to do, I want you to go get your pillow, and all the feathers in the pillow. I want you to take that pillow and take all the feathers and throw them out into the air. Hey, just throw them out into the air. Let them blow all over the city, and then you come and see me." So he came back a few days later. He says, "Priest, I did that. I took the pillow, like you said, and took the feathers out and scattered them all over the city." He goes, "Good. Now what I want you to do, I want you to go and collect all the feathers and put them back in the pillow." And he said, "Well, you know, I can't do that." He says, "That's exactly what we're talking about. That's what slander is. When you slander someone, it does and has that effect. See, you can't go back and collect those things anymore. You need to be careful concerning these things." I think that illustrates for us the matter. You see, when it's out, it's out. And the little thing that you say, a little thing you whisper in somebody's ear, that little gossip, that juicy gossip that you whisper in somebody's ear maliciously, you gossip to the wrong person, and that person has the eyes and ears of hundreds of people who have the eyes and ears of thousands of people. Before you know it, you know where we're at. And this is what's taking place. That's why it says you need to understand the power of the tongue. It is like a small fire, but man, it can cause some great, great harm because it's a small little flame, but it can create an inferno that consumes and consumes and consumes and just goes on and on and on. So he says, that's the power of the tongue. That's the power of the tongue. Now look with me again. It says in verse 6, the tongue is a fire. It is a fire. It is also the very world of what? Of iniquity. It's a world of iniquity. In other words, the tongue can be completely overrun by sin. It's not this innocent little muscle that's caught in between your teeth. You know, it's not there, just some little nice instrument that helps you swallow your food and, you know, clean your teeth every now and then. He says, no, that little that thing in that little muscle between your teeth can be an instrument that's a world of iniquity. It can just be totally consumed by wickedness. If you're not careful, that's what it is. It can be so energized by sin itself, by iniquity, by wickedness. That's what it is. It isn't some innocent little muscle that you have in your body. It is a muscle that can be used destructively and in wicked ways. And so he describes it for us. Look at verse 6 again. The tongue is set among our members, that is in our bodies, as that which, what does it do? It defiles the entire body. I mean, your hand cannot defile your entire body. Your feet cannot defile your entire body, but your tongue can. Go to Matthew 15 for just a moment. This is what Jesus said for us in Matthew 15. In Matthew 15, 18, remember when he talked about of defilement and is it what we eat that defiles us? Is it the things that we eat that are able to make us sin? He says, no. Look at verse 17. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the what? Out of the mouth. They come from where? From the heart. And those things defile the man. See, it's not what goes in. It can shorten your life. You know, too much menudo can shorten your life. Too much homemade chorizo can shorten your life. You know, it's some things that, you know, too much of the stuff that we eat may shorten our life, but it doesn't defile us. Doesn't make us sinners. No, but the stuff that comes out of your mouth, that can defile you because it comes out of your heart. Look at the next verse. Verse 19, for out of the heart comes what? Evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnesses and slanderers. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. That's why James says, listen, this member you have in your body, it's a small member, but it's set there as a member of the body, and it's responsible to defile the entire person. Why? Because it is the avenue of the heart expressing itself. It is the avenue of the heart saying what it really believes, what it really feels. And if in the heart there's wickedness, in the heart there's abominations, if in the heart there's thefts and murders and bitterness and anger and wrath, he says it's going to come out. It'll come out by means of your mouth. And that is going to be what defiles you. In other words, your tongue is going to affect your life. Go back to James chapter 3. So it's a fire. It's a world of iniquity. It's a member that defiles the entire body. Look at verse 6. It also sets on fire the course of our life. That's an interesting expression. It sets on fire the course of your life. It burns it. It burns a trail. In other words, it determines your ultimate destiny. Determines your ultimate destiny. You see, the tongue can actually damn your soul to eternal punishment. We'll see a verse in a few moments about that. But your tongue can determine your ultimate destiny, whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. It's based on the tongue. Jesus said, he that confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. He that denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And it's the tongue that does the confessing. Agreed or not? It's the tongue that does it. So if your tongue then is going to set the course for your life, it'll determine your ultimate destiny. Whatever pretense you say, eventually your tongue is going to tell us who you really are. Eventually, your tongue is going to reveal to us the depths of your heart. It's going to determine, it's going to set on fire the course of your life. You know, it was Hitler's tongue. It was Hitler's tongue that set a course for Germany, that set the world aflame. that set the world aflame. It was this man's ability to speak, his gift of oratory, that was able to ignite a fire on the course of Europe that cost the lives of millions and millions of people. It can be used for evil. It can set your course in life. And so think about it. You can take your marriage and doom yourselves to be single for the rest of your life simply because of what comes out of your mouth. You can lose a great job. You can lose a great job because you told your boss out. You told him off. Okay? You can lose your job because you got mad at a stewardess and took a plane and rerouted it back to the airport. By the way, she's getting canned, but you know, she's getting affected by that. In other words, what comes out of your mouth is going to set your course on fire. So he says, so don't take me lightly. Don't think about me as just some little piece of meat between your teeth that somehow, you know, you can just turn loose and don't worry about it. No, I have the ability to chart the destiny of your life for this life and also for eternity. I have that kind of power. Now look at the verse again. And also, not only does it set on fire the course of our life, but the tongue itself is set on fire by whom? By hell. I mean, think about the kind of demonic and satanic and hellish control the tongue can have. It's like the Gadarene demoniac. Remember, the Bible speaks about a demon-possessed man from Gadara, where not just one, but a legion of demons had possessed this man. So when Jesus asked him, like, so what is your name? And the demon answered, the man answered, by not giving his real name, but giving the name of the demons. He says, my name is Legion. That's what my name is, because you see, many demons are inside of me. He was possessed, and so whatever he spoke, whatever he said, was always devilish, was always satanic, was always controlled by demonic voices. It was not him that was speaking, it was always the demons that were speaking. It's an illustration, again, where a person, a life, can be so controlled by hell that all that we say is nothing. You've met people like that. You met folks like that that you can't hardly listen to them speak because of what comes out of their mouth. You've met folks like that. Some of us were like that. We came to Christ and we couldn't talk anymore because we didn't have the words. Remember that? You had to learn a whole new vocabulary because the words that you knew were words that came from hell. They didn't come from God. And all of a sudden, God had to change the way we had to speak. In other words, if we're not careful, we can allow our tongue to be controlled not by God, not by the flesh, not by the spirit, but controlled by hell itself. And James says, this is how powerful this tongue can be, that if you're not careful, you can allow it to be controlled by that which is demonic, by that which is hellish, and not by God himself. That's how much control this thing can have. And so he says, don't take me lightly. Don't take me lightly. Take me seriously. Because the power that I possess is a power that you have not begun to see. I determine the outcome of your life. And I'm not just innocent, this little innocent piece of meat, the little muscle that's between your teeth that looks so nice and pink, you know, and innocent, and sometimes smells so nice when you wash me with that mouthwash, etc., or you clean me with a toothbrush, and you think that I'm such a nice little piece of meat, you know, and I'm not. I am something that you need to reckon with from time to time. Does that make sense to us tonight? You see, and James is doing these pictures for us so we can get the impression. You can see what we're up against. Now look at verse 7. In verse 7, he says, I need to understand that this tongue is not that easy to control. It's not that easy to control. That's what he's saying in verses 7 and 8. He says, every species of beast and of birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one, finish it, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. I mean, again, James is helping us. And we've all seen this. This, the tongue resists taming. It's just hard. It's hard to control. Even tonight, we're looking at this thing and we're saying, wow, man, this is, I never looked at it this way. Well, yeah. Now, if you think you're going to just put two or three things together and go home and control it, he says, you're up. You realize it's not that easy to do. We can tame elephants, can't we? You can tame an elephant. You've seen a man with simply a little rod and can just take an elephant and move it around. Make it sit, make it stand, make it lie down. You can make him, you can get underneath the elephant. He can put his foot on you and not kill you. You've gone to SeaWorld. Huge killer whales, huge mammoth things, tamed. I mean, some of you have gone and you've touched the tongue of a killer whale. You've done some of that. Your kids have done that. Right? You've tamed these animals. When was the last time you tamed the tongue? You can touch the tongue of a killer whale, not touch your tongue, and control that baby. He says, I want you to know that no man can tame the tongue. No one by itself. No one just by human strength and human nature is able to tame the tongue. It takes divine power and divine guidance. That's what it takes. Look at verse 8. No one can tame the tongue. It is a, what kind of evil? Restless evil. A restless evil. He uses a picture there. It goes something like this. It's like a caged animal. Caged animal that is waiting to bust out. You know, it's what it is. It's what it is. You know, it's Jurassic Park, you know, and the raptors, you know, that are trying to bust out. Remember that? Trying to bust out and to bust out. Why? Because they're restless evil. And so it is. That's what the tongue is. You know, you have it encased in sets of teeth. I want you to grit your teeth right now. It's encased. But it's ready to bust out, isn't it? You're ready to bust out. And the minute something happens, man, the tongue pushes the teeth open and, man, it goes at it. And that's what it is. It's a restless evil. I mean, it's there like a caged animal ready to be unleashed. And you've had that effect. You've had this stuff where you can hardly wait to meet someone to let him have it, right? You can hardly wait to meet that person and, man, you're going to turn that ship around, lower the cannons and let him have it. You've done that. And that tongue is, man, it is just razor sharp. It has been perfected to an art. You know, it is a restless evil. That's what he's speaking about, friends. He uses this illustration to remind us of that. Look again at verse 8. Not only a restless evil, but also it's one that is full of what kind of poison? Deadly poison. It's like the tongues of serpents. Yeah, tongues of, there are certain serpents that, I mean, their tongues contain some deadly poison. There are some snakes out there, people in this world, that, I mean, they bite you and you're as good as dead. There is no antivenom. You know, it isn't readily available. If you don't get it within minutes, you're dead meat. He says, and the tongue is like that. It's full of deadly poison. It's designed to, has the power to destroy, has the power to kill. You know, it's a deadly thing, so you need to be careful concerning that. I mentioned it before that, you know, your tongue can kill your marriage. Your tongue can destroy your relationship you have with your husband or with your wife. Imagine that. The person you love the most, the person you spend so much time and energy to finally make your wife or make your husband, and that your tongue that is so full of deadly poison can destroy that relationship, can infect it. And it may not be a one-time event. It can be just simply a little bit here and injecting a poison here and poison there and a poison here and a poison there. And before you know it, you've destroyed your relationship. Agreed or not? You see, it can be that has to do with children or parents or friends or acquaintances. You can do that. It's full of deadly poison to the point that it just kills and destroys everything you see. You know people like that. They have these kinds of tongues and you avoid them like the plague. You know who they are. They're not here tonight. This is a holy crowd, okay? But they're out there, and you know some of these. When you see them coming, you go the other way. You hate to engage them in anything because you don't know what's going to happen as a result. You might say the wrong thing before you know it, you're dead because of the way they use this instrument. And so again, it's saying, this is not something to take lightly. This tongue that you have is not easily tamed. You can't just sit down one day and say, from now on, I'm going to bite my tongue. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take effort and discipline. It's going to take dependence upon God. It's going to take for you to read and reread and look at this thing and recognize that you're dealing with something that is not insignificant. It's something that affects the outcome of your life. Not easily tamed. Notice in verse 9, it says, with it, this tongue is so hypocritical, it's so contradictory, because with it, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, what do? We curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come forth what? Blessing and what? Cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. This is what the tongue can do. It is like contradictory. You can use it to praise God and sing songs to God and pray to God. One minute, and then the next minute, you turn around and you're cursing. You're cursing. True or not? I mean, not anybody here tonight, but we've called people on the phone sometimes, and they pick up the phone, and you can hear like the screaming and yelling and cussing. Yeah, and then they come to the phone. Who is it? What do you want? This is Pastor. I want to tell you. Oh, hi, Pastor. God bless you. It's so good to hear from you. What happened to the vote? What happened to the same individual that was just cursing the kids and telling them to shut up and sit down and ta-da-ta-da, blankety-blank, and all of a sudden changes? I think I called Nancy, and that happened to Nancy one time. No, nobody here. But don't we do that? Don't we do that? You know, the tongue is, we can be having a quiet time and the kids can do something, and then we turn around and then we use a different voice and we let them have it. We're just talking to God in prayer, and then we turn around and we talk to our kids and curse them. This is what God is saying here. This is the tongue. It is so suave. It is so smooth. It is so slick that it can appear and bless God and appear so holy and so righteous, and then the next minute, man, get down and bring curses and condemnation, etc., upon other people. This is what the tongue is. I mean, it is like, and so we know that. We know that we can train our tongue to say just the right things. You just kind of say, smooth things out, right? We can train it, and yet, when they push the other button, it can turn right around and become a slick sword and just start cutting and slicing and stabbing. True or not? I mean, we have it. Years ago, this fellow came, their marriage, this couple's marriage totally disintegrated. And he said, Pastor, listen, I want you to listen to my wife. And he just put the phone on and he played with this Christian gal, you know, Christian lady, was calling her husband, telling her husband. And I couldn't believe that. I couldn't fathom how a lady who comes to church and is raised in a Christian home and does these things could talk using those words against her husband. I mean, words that we could never even begin to say here, because the tongue does that. See, your tongue can do that. Matter of fact, my friends, it is possible that your tongue does it. You're here tonight, and it's possible your tongue is doing that. That you can turn it on, and it can bless God and praise the Lord and speak great things, and then in an instant, turns around and changes the tune completely and says things that are diabolical and wicked and hurtful. The people. See, and James is saying, This is the tongue. I want you to see it. It is slick. It is slick. It has the power to do, has the power to masquerade as something great, and then in a moment it changes and becomes something else. It's able to do that. This is your tongue. This is my tongue that is able to do that. You see, this is it. This is what the tongue does. Now he says in verse 10, now we know that this is not the way things should be. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Would you agree with that? Are we Christians? Are we believers? He says, then we should not be this way. We should be different. This should not be the way we should carry ourselves in our lives. We should be consistent. Our tongues should be controlled. The things we say should be tempered. The things that proceed out of our mouths should be such that reflect the inner life that we have and love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Agreed? He says, so we shouldn't operate in this manner. We should then control the tongue and make sure that it does what it needs to say. Then again, he illustrates for us in verses 11 and 12. Again, just to show us, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? What's the answer? No. A fountain is going to either give you bitter water, it's a bad fountain, so you don't drink of it. Or it's going to give you sweet water, and it's a good fountain, so you're going to drink from it. But it doesn't 1 minute send bitter, and then 1 minute send sweet. It doesn't do that. It's consistent. Same thing with the mouth, he says. It should be consistent with how we speak. Look at verse 12. Can a fig tree produce olives? What's the answer? No. What do fig trees produce? Figs. What do olive trees produce? Olives. He says, in vine, does the vine produce figs? No. What does the vine produce? Grapes. Obviously, grapes. He says, and so, nor can salt water produce what? Fresh, without going through a major desalination process. But just by itself, it doesn't produce fresh water. He says, even nature teaches you that it's these contradictions just cannot be. It's against nature for something to be so contradictory, to be so much in conflict with what it really is supposed to be. He says, even nature tells you that. Even nature tells you that. Now, again, what James is saying to us here tonight, my friends, is that don't minimize the importance of the tongue. The tongue is going to determine the outcome of your life. Just the way you can guide an animal around by controlling, you know, its the bit in its mouth. He says, so it is if you can learn to control your tongue. He says, you're going to then guide the outcome of your life. The outcome of your life is going to depend upon the controlling of your tongue. He says, this tongue is not easily controlled, right? Not easily controlled. If you think it's just going to snap from now on, no more, he says, you need to be careful with that because it's not easily controlled. It is a restless evil. It's like a caged animal ready to go out. You can tame animals. You can tame elephants. You can tame, you know, killer whales. But that little tongue, that serpent in your mouth, full of deadly poison, is not easily controlled. And so it's going to take that and then some for you to get to that level, for you to do that. He says, and the outcome of this is because, you see, this little member of your body, it's a small thing, but it boasts great things. It's a small thing, but man, it can do some great, great harm. It can destroy, it can set aflame the course of your life. It is so wicked, if you allow it to become wicked, it is so wicked that it'll just, it's almost like hell set it on flame. It's almost like it becomes a mouthpiece for Satan himself and the devil himself. That's how wicked this thing can be. And therefore, he says, you need to know the power of the tongue and then learn to control it. That's our goal, to respect the power of this little instrument. So tonight, Tonight, I want you to do an exercise tonight when you go home. I want you to go in the bathroom and open your mouth wide and stick out your tongue. All right? But now, instead of admiring it, think of what James called it. All right? What James, how James nailed it. And then set up out in your life to control this tongue. Amen or not? Control it. Going to determine the destiny of your heart. Now, next Wednesday night, what I want to do is I want to go to Ephesians 4. And we're going to help us control the tongue by Ephesians 4, looking at that text. So I want you to come next Wednesday night, and we're going to be doing an exercise on the proper use of the tongue. Okay, God gives us a pair of, there's a lot the Bible says. I mean, this the word of God is full of stuff to help us. But for next Wednesday night, we're going to look at seven proper uses of the tongue. And I have ourselves in mind here. I have us in mind of how we can properly use the tongue and avoid all the stuff that James speaks about here. And in fact, make sure that our lives are going in the right direction as we control our tongues. Amen? We'll do that next Wednesday night. Let's pray together. Well, we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us this lesson from your word. And we thank you for making it so clear. It's like you drew pictures for us of horses and ships and animals and fires and forests and figs and plants, so that we could see and we can feel and understand the power of the tongue. And Lord, never take it lightly. Remind us that as we control our tongues, it is an expression of our faith in you, of our faith in Christ. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the things we say are things that are in our hearts. We can never say, well, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to say that. Lord, it was what's in our hearts. And so we pray that you change our hearts. Help us to have our hearts cleansed by the blood of Christ. Help us to have our hearts controlled by the Spirit of God. So all that is said, all that comes out of it, may be sweet, and that which builds up and encourages. Lord, forgive us tonight if we have taken our tongues and offended and hurt and destroyed relationships. Forgive us. You can never go back and undo these things, but you can. So give us grace and give us help, and allow us, Lord, to learn to control our tongues for your honor and for your glory. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're dismissed. May God bless you. We're a little bit early, so don't race over and get your kids. Okay, just wait till they're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you.